Welcome to Everybody A, Everybody Gay,
a queer exploration of Pretty Little Liars.
With your host, Speak Pirate, aka Joanna. I'm here, I'm queer, and I have a cat named Spencer.
And one of your other hosts for tonight, LCO123, aka Vina, a proud member of the Church of Vander Jesus.
And I'm Kelsey, and I have an in with the producer.
Yay! We have a guest tonight. In case listeners couldn't guess, the guest is Kelsey, my girlfriend. And we are just going to kind of have a loose, fun conversation about PLL and a lot of other things and just gay stuff. And it should be really fun.
So excited. This is actually like the first time that I have met Kelsey, although I've, you know, heard things about her for a while now. And so listeners, this is super great. This is your chance to get to know Kelsey and like hear some of her hot takes on PLL and, you know, everything. So exciting. So let's just kick it off. Can you guys tell me how you met?
We get to talk about our relationship.
I'm so excited.
Do you want to take this, Kelsey?
Yeah, sure. I'll take this. So we met through Hinge. So, you know, dating apps do work.
Works for us.
Yeah, exactly. We texted for a couple of weeks. Our first date was like weirdly kind of a ways after we first started texting because I was out of town. But we ended up meeting up. We went to a museum on our first date, which was, in retrospect, it was a pretty great first date because of the company I was with. I don't know if that was a great pick on my part, because it was very busy, but yeah, we just kind of clicked and
yeah,
everything felt really right.
Yeah. Everything just kind of fell into place.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of a boring story. It's not like she moved away and I wrote her letters and, you know, it's just kind of like, we met on an app. We liked each other. We just kept hanging out, and here we are.
Okay. And I mean, I get the vibe that you guys like to talk about your relationship, which, you know, gay. So my next question would be like, when did you know that it was serious?
Oh, that's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like we've talked about this, but I feel like we both have multiple answers.
Mm-hmm.
Serious. I think we had some conversations where it was like clear that we were both, you know, really liking one another in a way that felt very singular, you know. Between our first and second official dates, we had a 3-hour phone call, which we'll talk about more later because there is a PLL twist. But I think that I was like, okay, well, I can talk to her for 3 hours and I want to keep talking. So that means something. Yeah. What would you say?
Yeah. I mean, that phone call was very special to me too. Cause we got to talk about so many different things, including PLL, which we will get to in a minute. But I think for me, I think probably the moment where I felt like it was turning into something serious, it was turning into something real, was our fifth date. We went to a park near here kind of at sunset. We got takeout and had a picnic, and then as we were walking back to my apartment, we got trapped by train tracks and couldn't go up the hill the normal way, so we ended up walking for like a mile to get to the next bus stop. And I kept apologizing as it's like getting darker and darker and colder and colder. I'd be like, I'm so sorry, I don't know where we can go up the hill from here. And so just like really exhausted when we finally got to a bus stop and we're finally like actually on the way, actually going in the right direction. I just remember holding your hand and feeling like we were part of a team.
Also, the name of that park is Centennial Park, by the way. So,
Taylor,
she strikes again.
Exactly. It was a park that is nearby my apartment. And I had like for like the previous 2 years, I should say, had like gone on long runs in that park, had like gone and taken my book there and mm-hmm. sat in the sun and just very much like, this is such a romantic place. I wish I had someone to share it with. And then I took you.
Yeah. And then we just went there again this last weekend. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Yeah.
Love that. That was a great story. Oh. Okay. So, obviously, this podcast has spent like hours, days, weeks of cumulative time talking about Vina and her PLL fandom and takes. But Kelsey, so you watched PLL when the show was on like originally, but then you sort of like dropped off like at some point in the middle. Like, what besides like emotionally healthy boundaries led you to that decision?
Oh, that's a good question. So I watched it during its original run, and I remember the time, you'll have to remind me of like what season this was.
Okay.
But it was after Mona was, it's the season after Mona is revealed as A.
So that's season three.
She was revealed.
She's revealed as A at the end of season two.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And I remember like getting through like halfway through season three and like the mystery is still happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember having this realization of just like, oh, they don't know what the answer is.
Yeah.
Like, I'm having fun trying to figure out like the puzzles and everything mm-hmm. like that. How does this fit together? And then when I realized that it's really at the blind leading the blind, yeah. I was just like, oh, this isn't fun anymore.
That, you know, that was a very smart, healthy choice. Joanna and I obviously went a different direction and decided to invest our lives into trying to make sense of these choices. But, you know.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how much of a healthy choice it was, because like, I'm pretty sure pretty soon after I stopped watching Pretty Little Liars, I got into Doctor Who.
Gotcha.
That might be a lateral move on my
part. Nerdy in a different way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I actually think though that your trajectory as a PLL viewer, I feel like it actually might be like pretty unique. You might be the only person who stopped watching like kind of mid season three and then picked back up after the time jump, because you were watching with Vina. Like, the time jump is like such a death valley of storyline.
Yeah.
That I really don't feel like there are probably many people who like watched it early on, came back to it at that point, and then watched it to the end.
Yeah.
So like definitely bringing a unique perspective.
You got like the best of the show, which is like those first couple seasons, and then literally the worst of the show. Yeah.
So when did you pick back up? Like, at what point did you start watching with Vina again?
I don't remember.
It was in the last, I think we were into season seven.
Was it 7B?
I think it might have been 7B.
Yeah, I think that it
might have been 7B. Yeah, there might have been one or two episodes in 7A that we watched. God, it's all such a blur. I just am seeing like Hannah and Cars and Noel Kahn's head rolling around on the floor. Okay. I think it was probably sometime in 7B. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Great. Yeah. Well, I'm so like, I just feel like we're going to get into such interesting discussions of like what the show is, what the show was, what the show means. But Vina, I know that I don't want to just like dominate the conversation. I know you also had some questions that you had prepped.
Well, yes, I think you and I have similar questions, but I guess, well, maybe we should tell the story, we should circle back to that phone call, and you can maybe tell the anecdote about that relates to Pretty Little Liars.
Yeah, I love it. It's so funny to me. Respect. So we were on this phone call. I'm out of town pet sitting for somebody, and we're on this phone call, and I think we had circled back to talking about like TV shows that we were obsessed with. And you asked me the question, what was the first TV show that you saw like a gay couple on?
Yes.
And I said, you know, that's a good question. Do you happen to remember a show on ABC called Pretty Little Liars? And you said, Yeah, I think I can remember. Which what I should have known was a very pregnant pop.
Because, like, how do you drop that? At what point do you drop, do you come out a podcaster?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I totally, Avina actually texted me, like, later that week, and she was like, oh my gosh, like, somebody asked me, and I don't think you said that it was, like, a romantic interest, but I was like, oh, I mean, who else is really going to be, I guess, how many romantic interests are going to bring up PLL, but how many, like, strangers are going to bring up PLL?
Sure.
I totally agree. You don't, like, somebody doesn't just casually say, do you remember a show called Pretty Little Liars, and you'd be like, well, have you listened?
As a matter of fact.
Like, let me give you this dossier of things to read and listen to answer that question. But that, when did you find out? Like, when did you find out that Vina definitely did remember in great detail every episode of Pretty Little Liars?
You want me to tell this, or should...
Yeah, you okay. Tell this version okay. of the story.
So, Kelsey had COVID, and this was...
No, this was before I
had COVID. Oh, this was when you had a COVID scare.
Yeah.
Yes, she had a COVID scare. This was, like, what, like, 2.5 months after mm-hmm. probably that initial phone call, something like that. And it had been... I had been feeling this feeling of, like, guilt, because I was, like, I feel like I'm lying to her, or, like, omitting this, like, truth about my life. It feels weird. And so we were, over this time that she had had this COVID scare, things had been kind of getting more serious. Mm-hmm. And I think we were just about to become official, like official, right? Or were we already?
Well, maybe I should tell this
maybe
story.
Maybe you should tell this
because
story.
Because I remember it clearer than I do. No, what I remember specifically is I had this COVID scare, and we had planned a date, and on this date, I had planned to ask you to be, like, my girlfriend officially.
Okay.
And so we were on, I think we were texting, and then we were on the phone, and I was just like, what I was going to ask you today, I guess I'll just ask you over the phone, will you be my girlfriend? And you said yes, and we're just like, oh my God. And then the next day, like on the Sunday afternoon, we had a FaceTime call, and honeymoon phase,
yeah,
all this stuff. And you were, as I'm like sitting on the couch and be like, I'm pretty sure I don't have COVID and happy to, you know, really want to see my girlfriend. You said, I feel like I have something to tell you. And I was just, oh no.
What's this going to be?
Okay,
did
you have any, like, what went through your
yeah,
mind? Yeah. Like, what did you think it was going to be?
I don't know. I think it was just like my mind went blank. Just asked her to be my girl. You were married, like you're getting divorced. What? And then you said, "I have a podcast," and I was like, "Oh!"
Like, what I thought was very funny that she said to me, "Are you telling me that you're internet famous?" I was like, "No, I'm not internet famous. I'm like, there's a very, very small group of people on the internet who do listen to my podcast, but you know." I'm not like secretly, you know, like somebody really big, but yeah. So you kind of talked to me about this, but like, what was your initial reaction to this news?
I thought it was really fun. Like, I mean, once I kind of understood what the podcast was, I was just like, oh, that's really great. And I think it's cool to have like a really years long ongoing project, especially with like a long distance friendship like this, about something that's really interesting and like clearly fun to talk about mm-hmm. in an aspect that it is. So like, I was just, you know, I was really impressed by it.
Oh, thank you. And we should also say Kelsey is a listener now of the mm-hmm. podcast.
Yes, I am.
Yes.
That leads me to my next question, which was that, so like next week we're going to have my partner on. And at one point Vina told me that you intended to listen to the whole back catalog, like you wanted to listen to all the episodes of our podcast. And I said like, oh, that's like when you're like newly in love and you're like, I'm gonna take this on, I'm gonna listen to all the episodes of your podcast. I was like, Kristen and I have been together like 12 years. I don't think she has listened to like even one episode of our podcast. Like she's barely watched an episode of PLL. Like it's like so cute. Like, you guys were like, oh, I want to know everything about what you're doing. And Kristen and I are like, I'm so happy you have something you're doing that doesn't involve me. And it's like, oh,
yeah,
we're both like, you know, very healthy, but very different. So how is that ambition going?
Do you want to?
Yeah, I can admit this. I was on like a long commute and I put it in, and I think I got like maybe 2 episodes in. I texted you later and be like, baby, I love you so much. I don't care enough about Pretty Little Liars.
Yeah, she really likes whenever we talk about something that isn't Pretty Little. The other hilarious thing is that somewhere in like an earlier text exchange before I come out as a podcaster, we had been texting about something, and Teenage Bounty Hunters came up, mm-hmm. and it was like, and Kelsey was a fan.
Yeah, I watched the show when it came out in 2020. I thought it was so fun. It was so cute. I thought it was so great, and I was like, oh, just like, I thought it was so cute. I was so disappointed it didn't get a second season. I thought it hit something about like modern teenagerness mm-hmm. that I felt was really true and lovely.
Yeah.
While also being like campy and ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I had watched it, and little did I know.
They had to be like, oh, that other thing too. Yeah. We also talked about pretty much any piece of queer media that's come out in the last decade. We probably talked about it.
True. We either talked about it or talked about talking about it. Like one of the two, exactly. For sure.
So I'm curious though, like, has your opinion of PLL changed since like listening to the podcast or like hearing, you know, me talk about it or like rewatching the episodes with me? And it's okay if it hasn't.
I think definitely my opinion on like the queerness of Mona has changed, like that feeling of longing and belonging, and how she like never really makes a connection with any of her like quote unquote like male love interests.
Sure.
So like that, I think, was an important opinion change for me to make in order for our relationship to work.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think you texted me at some point something about Mona, like Mona is the best, or you texted something like that to me, and I texted you back like, that's the hottest thing you've ever said to me. Continue.
I think for me, watching the last episodes, I was just like, wow, these people are just not trying anymore. Except for Troyan. I think Troyan and Mona's actress
Janelle,
she's like, they're putting in work. They're like, this is gonna go on my resume. Yeah. I'm gonna be able to show that I did something good so I can get my next job.
Yeah.
But everybody else is like, I'm done.
They're phoning it in. They're phoning it in.
Yeah. They are cashing the paycheck and thinking about like what they're having for dinner later that night.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Ian Harding in particular, because I think like as the seasons went on, I think he probably had this realization of like, oh, like I'm playing a monster.
I hope he had that realization.
And he's like, I think at the end, like the way that I've seen some interviews with him since, and it's just like, I think he was just like, man, I really need this job. I can't give up this paycheck, but like, damn,
yeah,
this is a bad thing I'm in.
Yeah. It is. Mm-hmm. I think you're right.
The only other thing I've really seen him in since PLL, he did a brief arc on Chicago Med where he was reunited with the actress who played Melissa Hastings, and he also played a pretty bad dude on that show. So I was like, oh, I'm just never gonna like you. I'm never gonna like you in any role that you're in. I'm sure you're a perfectly charming person, but it's a no for me.
Yeah, he just kind of has like the face of a scumbag, and it's not his fault.
So what, like, when you first started watching PLL, like, what drew you in? Like, was it that you had heard that there were queer characters? Like, were you into, like, the mystery elements of it? What made you kind of check it out?
I think what drew me to it was definitely the mystery elements to it. It's, like, you know, 4 girls in this picturesque town, and, like, something horrible happened, and there's, like, somebody tormenting them. And so fitting the puzzle pieces together mm-hmm. was part of the allure for me. It also like doesn't hurt that like they're all like dressed impeccably and are kind of like living this kind of fairy tale life that me as a it started airing in like what 2009 so I was in like I'm dating myself. I was in like middle school at the time. So it's also like kind of like glamorous, you know, older teenagers who I kind of like wanted to grow up to be.
Sure.
I had no idea that there was any sort of like gay character in it until like a few weeks in, because I grew up in an evangelical Christian household. And that was like something that was like not talked about and not okay. So that's where I saw like Emily kiss Maya for the first time and like feel things, and I didn't really understand what that was until like several years later, but that was like kind of my introduction into that world. For better or for worse.
Yeah. Were there like particularly of the queer characters, but really of any characters, were there characters that you found yourself relating to as a teenager?
This is so funny. I think as a teenager I really wanted to be Arya.
Sure.
But, like, as I think you've intimated on this podcast, I'm a Spencer.
She is a Spencer.
And I was a Spencer back then. I've shown you photos.
Yes.
School photos of me in just, like, baby dyke uniform, a tweed jacket, and, like, a graphic t-shirt under it.
So many times we'd be watching the episodes, and Kelsey would be like, I like that outfit that Spencer's wearing. And I'd be like, you wear that outfit every day.
Okay, so here's a fashion question. Now that we know that you're a Spencer, did you in high school, or do you in your wardrobe now, have any ties? And if so, how many?
That's a good question. I do not currently own a tie. I will say in high school, I did have a blue bow tie that I would wear sometimes, which I did not purchase. I did not purchase it myself. The reason I own it or had it is way nerdier, because I played piano in the jazz band, and that was part of our uniform to wear. That it was a navy blue bow tie that was the high school colors, and you had to wear it with like a man's tuxedo shirt.
Did you ever wear it like a la carte?
Yeah,
not when. And you didn't know you were a lesbian.
I love that. I think it is. And also, like, it gives credence to our Spencer as a queer character, you know, through line that we've been building. But also, the whole jazz band thing is very Maya, because Maya was in jazz band. So that there's, like, double queer points for that.
Absolutely, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So was Spencer, like, when you were watching it initially, was Spencer your favorite liar, or was Arya your favorite because you sort of, like, wanted to, like, be the Arya?
I think initially, yeah, Arya was definitely my favorite character, because, like, she dressed the way that, like, I wanted to dress, like, kind of emo-y, a little gothy. And just, like, something about, because, like, I really wanted to be, like, a novelist and a writer. So, because, like, that was her ambition. I was just like, oh, like, she's kind of my in character. But, like, the longer that I watched the show, the more I kept, like, relating to Spencer, not only in the way that she dressed, but also, like, her deep focus on, like, academics and the stuff with her family and things like that. I was just, like, she evolved into kind of my favorite character towards the end.
Yeah.
The end of my watch, I should say.
Do you want to share the characters that you shipped initially?
That's a leading question.
you are leading the guest.
Yeah. Yes, I am.
So I was a Haleb shipper.
You said that like you were just admitting that you killed somebody.
Well, I know how you feel about Caleb as a character.
I think early season, like, if you just watched seasons 1 and 2, totally. They're very shippable in the early seasons.
Absolutely. I 100% agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You also liked Spoby, though, right?
I did like Spoby, but I think that's just because Toby is such, like, a blank space of a man.
Sure.
That what I appreciate about that relationship, because in a lot of ways it's the kind of relationship I wanted for myself, was as somebody who could be like very in their head, a little neurotic, trying to keep a lot of plates in the air, having somebody who being in a relationship with somebody who could be like calm and be like, all right, let's take a breath. Mm-hmm. Let's do something. That to me was very attractive.
So are you saying that I'm your Toby?
Because that might
be the meanest thing you've ever
done. I would not say that to you.
Okay. How, like, did any of your opinions on, like, the characters or the ships change either from just, like, getting older and reflecting on them or from, you know, watching the more recent episodes with me?
I think, like, my horror at the whole Presria storyline is, like, because, like, I'm, like, a little kid, so you're sure. Just, like, oh, that's just, like, fantasy about a teacher yeah. coming to life or whatever. And then you watch it back, and you're just, like, oh, jail forever.
Yeah.
I think it's that. I think, really, those ships, I think the early season ships are, like, perfectly fine for mm-hmm. what they are, but, like you said on this podcast, like the way that Caleb treats Hannah like a second parent, it's just like, it's so gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So do you have any strong opinions on who is or is not the best love interest for Emily?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, that's a good question.
I mean, you've missed a lot of them in the middle.
Yeah, I've missed a lot of them. Of the ones that I've seen, I think Paige is probably the best, which is not great. She, like, tried to drown her. Remember? But you know what? It's slim pickings in the middle of conservative Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
You do what you can.
We'll go with Paige.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
And I mean, PLL, it's not great. Like, that's, like, the tagline for most relationships.
Yeah.
You definitely have to grade on a pretty big curve when it comes to, you know, when it comes to anything like that. So good answer. So please share your thoughts, if you would, on The Liars plus Mona on a scale of most to least queer.
Ooh. Okay, I'm excited to hear this.
A good question. Oh, it's so funny because, like, I should put Emily at the top, being like, go on.
Yeah.
But Shay Mitchell just, like, doesn't lean into it enough.
Yeah.
That I think she has to be the middle.
Okay.
Okay. So I think top has to be, I think on, like, sheer capability, I think I have to put Mona at the top.
Okay.
Then Spencer. Then I'm going to say Emily. Then I think Hannah and then Aria.
And where does Allison fall in there?
Oh, that's right. I forgot about her. As did the showrunners.
Yes, they did it. Good one, babe.
I think I'm going to put her below Emily.
Okay. I think I can co-sign that ranking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that was a great ranking. Definitely correct to put Mona right at the top.
Yep.
That's like, right. And I think that's totally dead on. And also, like, the show can't really tell the difference between Allison and Hannah most of the time. So rating Allison, like, kind of right next to Hannah on the queerness scale, I feel like also really works.
Yeah, I would totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, please rate how strongly you agree or disagree with the following statements, which are, I would say, like, these are sort of, like things that I would say are, like, Vina's, like, founding principles of your PLL, like,
ooh, okay.
Fandom. Okay, so first of all, Mona is a lesbian.
So which side of the scale is?
Oh, so 10 is like you totally agree. 1 is like you absolutely disagree.
I think I'm gonna give that a 10.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I'm nodding sagely over here.
Okay. Hannah and Spencer should cut Caleb out of the love triangle and spend the rest of their lives together happily being gay and doing crimes.
Oh, I think I'm going to do maybe a 7. Okay. On that one. Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Excellent.
I feel like Anna's really bad at crime.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. Something else.
Being gay and like watching crime shows.
There you go. Yeah, having a crime podcast.
That's just my podcast.
Yes. Perfect. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Arya and Prezra's marriage will end in an epic, messy divorce.
Oh, I think that's a one because I think she's gonna murder him.
Ooh,
acceptable alternative, I think.
Yeah. No, I'm very down with that. All right, those were Vina. Do you think that those were like a pretty true reflection of your three kind of founding principles of things you believe?
I think so. I think you really summed it up very nicely. I'm trying to think now of like if I like to do the reverse, like well, I mean, for you obviously that Spencer is a queer character. Mm-hmm. I'd have to think more about that. Do you have what you would think would be your founding principle?
I would have to think about it, but on our reverse partner episode, like you can't really ask. Kristen would not have any real opinions.
No.
She'd be like, our cat Spencer, like
what are you talking about?
She's pretty queer, like queer household, you know, kind of weird, like.
Well, we'll think about that. Or, you know, this listeners, if you have pitches of what you think Joanna's founding principles of PLL fandom are, you know, of course.
The things that I feel like are your founding principles are like, you feel them so strongly. It's like hard to imagine that anyone could think differently. Like, how could someone think that Spencer is not a queer character? How could someone think that Prezra is not a pedophile who is continuing to be involved with like young girls throughout like the run of the show and beyond? Like, yeah. So.
One of yours would be that Melissa and Charlotte had a romantic
relationship. Yeah. That's a good one. That's a pretty unique. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That would be one of them.
Yeah.
All right.
But I think another one would be that Allison and Shauna were a couple at one point.
Oh, yeah. That Shauna was definitely in love with Allison, and that Allison kind of used that to think. Yeah. And I guess Allison's whole internalized biphobia. I have a lot of thoughts about that. So, yes. All right. Okay. So, having like come back to the show, luckily, right towards the end there. Kelsey, what are your thoughts on a fan, not favorite, Alex Drake?
It's like such a Hail Mary for the show. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it's kind of incredible.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, I don't know if you just talked about it, but like, the way that we would watch episodes, I'd be like working on something else, like just like sitting next to her while she's like watching it on the TV. Mm-hmm. And I was just glued to the television, completely ignoring what I had to work on. Yeah. I could not take my eyes away.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh, like it feels like it's so stupid.
Yeah.
But it feels like such a breath of fresh air in just a nothing burger of like the last three episodes at the time, mm-hmm. where you're just like, yeah, this is stupid, but like it's fun stupid.
It's something.
So it's something.
Yeah. What do you think of the accent?
It's so bad.
Yeah.
It shoots the moon into being good to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you said, Joanna, that you think that like that accent is kind of the saving grace of it all.
Yeah, it was very shocking to me on the rewatch, but I do think that Troyan is a hero for that accent because it is so bad that it distracts you. Like all you remember is the accent. You don't remember how banana pants the story was, like the things that were coming out of her mouth. It's like the only thing you remember her saying is like govna or whatever. Yeah. You don't remember, like,
which she never actually says, but like in her mind she says it.
Exactly.
I think every line that she says ends with governor.
I think so too. Existentially it does.
I mean, despite the fact that we just watched that episode, like
Well, I have a question for you guys.
Oh,
do
okay.
you think that accent is like, and how good it is, not only it hinges on how bad it is, but because it's a British accent in particular, like, do you think the campiness of that accent could work if they had like stayed in the United States and she was like from Louisiana or something?
I mean, that would be amazing. Or if it was like an over the top like French accent or something.
Yeah, especially since the series ends in like Paris.
It would be very fun. To me, part of what I think to me, part of what makes the accent such a, what gives the accent so much presence, should we say, is like, I think that Troyan has always kind of read as like the prestige actor of PLL. And I think that there is like nothing more prestige than like an American actor doing a British accent, right? Like that's like, you know, a hole in one every time. And so I think that there is something so deeply, like, tragically unable to look away from the fact that, like, here is your best actor doing this accent that should make it seem like, should lend an element of prestige to this reveal. And it is, like, the dumbest thing we've ever seen or heard. Yeah.
I have trouble, like, I can't even, like, wrap my head around, like, what the accent would be like if they had made it, like, a Southern accent or like a Bostonian accent.
Oh my God.
Like if she was just saying like, you can't park here, like, oh, yeah, like that would just be, that would really be something. But like, I have trouble imagining it any other way, but I think like, I think that the accent, like just having the accent there, I think it does what it's intended to do. Like, it's just like, it's kind of the element that I think lets you know that the show itself, which is going to be evident in the writing, but that the show is not taking this reveal super seriously. Like, that it, sure, that it has that level of, like, camp and ridiculousness to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also, that's their cheap-ass way of having you tell Spencer and Alex apart, is that Spencer... talks like she was raised on planet Earth, and Alex Drake talks like she was raised on like a weird like clone planet where everyone just happens to talk in a Cockney accent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. She talks like Eliza Doolittle. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Well, speaking of campy and ridiculous, do we want to play our true or false game, or do you have stuff you want to talk about first?
I think we should go to the true or false game for sure.
Okay, so this game was actually a Kelsey pitch. She's very proud of herself.
I am.
And she said, "Well, why don't you guys come up with some storylines that didn't happen on the show, and then you know some storylines that did, and make her guess what actually happened and what didn't." So Joanna and I each came up with a list. I think of things that did happen and things that didn't happen. And I think we should just do them all, because I think that this would be really fun.
I think we should switch off. I think you should do one, I'll do one.
Yeah.
We'll go back and forth.
And mine are not in any kind of, like, true, false order. So, you know, don't try to, like, figure out the pattern, okay?
Okay.
All right. So we'll say it, and then she'll say if she thinks it's true or false.
Yeah, like, did this happen on the show, or did it not?
Okay. Do you want to go first?
Sure. Okay, I'll go first.
Okay.
Noel Kahn is committed to Radley.
I don't know off the top of my head if this is true or false, but since I think he's on the A team for most of the show's run, I don't think they need another set of eyes inside of Radley. So I'm going to say it's false. It did not happen on the show.
You are correct. Yes. All right. Spencer goes to London, is still terrorized by A. Is this true or false?
I think it's false because I don't think they had the budget to do a London set.
They didn't.
However, literally, they send Spencer to London and there's just Union Jack flags as far as the eye can see.
Oh,
yes.
My.
Yes. Yes.
Nevertheless, they persist.
Exactly.
I almost want to give you like a half point for the reasoning on that. Just like you were
because right with that answer.
You went the right way down the street, but yeah. Okay. Let's see. The liars save Jenna from drowning.
I don't know off the top of my head if that's true or false. I'm going to say false.
It is true. They do save Jenna from drowning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's like it's a weird thing too, where the actress who played Jenna was like very pregnant at the time. So it's like a different body. It's a weird situation.
I did not know that she was. I was like, oh, she's just like bloated because her body's like been in the water.
No. All right. Ella Montgomery is attacked by bees.
Okay, I think this is true because the circumstances, I believe, because I think I've seen of like she turns on her car and then the air vents open and bees come out.
That is true.
Yay!
This is a very fun game.
It is.
Emily meets Olympic medalist Missy Franklin.
I don't know if Missy Franklin is a real person.
go with your instinct.
I'm gonna say it's true. Is it true?
Yes.
Yes, Missy Franklin is real, and she does randomly make a cameo on PLL. So.
Oh, it's my God. It's really weird. That's it's like so weird. It's like, hey, everybody, over at the brew, Missy Franklin.
So yeah, weird. I mean, she's like, she won like 5 medals. I mean, she was a really good swimmer. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Paige runs away from home, ends up at the Marin house.
I don't think that's true because I don't think Paige and Hannah like each other all that much.
Good deduction skills. That was false. So, I mean, you are correct.
Okay.
It was false.
But it still happened. Okay.
Yeah. No, it didn't happen.
Okay, it didn't happen.
The storyline is false. You are accurate.
Okay.
Yes. It's hard to clarify on this.
By the end of the show, every liar has killed at least one person.
I'm trying to think of the body count. I don't think Arya has killed anybody, so I'm going to say that's false.
It is false, but Arya is one of the people who has killed someone.
Oh, who'd she kill?
She kills Shauna, who's
is that the girl who falls off the stage?
Yes.
Yes, who was once referred to in the script as Shauna Costume Shop before she got a last name.
Oh, yeah. My God.
All right. Ashley and Jason De Laurentiis hook up.
Who's Ashley?
Hannah's mom.
Okay. That's a good question. No, because I don't think this show lets good things happen to MILFs.
No, it did happen.
It did happen.
They fucked on her kitchen floor.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But also, she's right again, though, because it turns out as a way for Ashley to be slut-shamed in front of the entire town. So,
yeah.
She's engaged to Pastor Ted. So, yeah.
Oh my God. I'm sad that Kelsey missed the Pastor Ted, Eric, because Kelsey would have so many thoughts about Pastor Ted. You hate Pastor Ted.
Yeah, I'm sure I would.
I mean, but I'm happy for her that she does not have to, like,
I am too.
Know the, yes. Let's see. Hannah encourages Caleb to leave her for a ghost.
I think that is true. Because of contractual obligations of, like, they have to break up this couple so Caleb can go to this ill-fated spinoff.
Correct.
And be with the ghost girl.
For bonus points, do you remember the name of the ill-fated spinoff?
Ravenswood.
Yeah!
Because I remember watching it as, like, Ravenswood, as like, the backdoor pilot. And I'm just like, I didn't watch any of it, but I, like, heard about it. And I'm just like, oh, that's stupid.
Yeah, it's really stupid.
Also, like, this doesn't work within the laws of the universe that we've been in for 3 seasons.
You can't just change the rules.
No, you can't do that.
No. Okay, Arya has a pregnancy scare and doesn't tell Prezra.
That would be on brand for this show.
So, you think yes?
I'm thinking, I'm going to say false. That did not happen.
You are correct. That did not happen.
Okay, so I have a Ravenswood one. In the Ravenswood spinoff, Hannah is psychic and Arya is a witch.
I think that's false because I don't think Hannah would be that much of a character on Ravenswood.
Correct.
It is correct, but also Hannah is sort of psychic on PLL. They kind of that's kind of a weird backdoor thing that they show up with.
Okay.
Mona has masks of each of the liars' faces.
I'm gonna say yes because that's camp.
This unfortunately it is not true.
Now I wanna say we don't know that it's not true. It's not shown on camera.
That's true.
I think it has a ring of truth to it. For sure.
And she has dolls of all of them, which you could say a doll. But okay, we do not see on screen Mona having masks of each of the liars. Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah.
All right. Melissa Hastings is briefly abducted by a cult and the liars have to rescue her.
That would explain why she like disappears for huge chunks of the seasons. But I'm going to say that's not true.
You are correct. That was a plot on Riverdale.
I was going to say, because like I think that's happened on Riverdale.
There's overlap. My next one is also Melissa related. Mm-hmm. Melissa Hastings buries someone alive.
Okay, I think that's true. I think what the situation is that like she buries Allie alive, but she thinks Allie's dead, and she thinks she's covering up for Spencer. Is that true? So I'm going to say it's true.
It is true. The circumstances are a little bit different. Okay. So what happens is that a girl...
I think we should ask Kelsey, like, explain to us about the grave. Like, explain, like,
okay.
Who was in the grave? Like, how is Allison alive? Like, what... If you had to, like, piece together from your knowledge of the show, like, what do you think probably happened there?
Okay. I don't know how she gets in the grave.
Okay.
But I know she's in there, and I think somebody knocks her out, because somebody hits her in the head with a shovel, I think. And then she looks dead. Melissa thinks that Spencer kills her, and so she buries the body, and then the old lady from Ravenswood, like, digs her out. She has psychic powers or something. And then somebody else actually dies in that grave. And then I think Mrs. De Laurentiis actually buries her.
I think that is like about as well as any of the writers could explain it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So let me see if I can explain it. So the De Laurentiis family is building a gazebo in their yard. So there's like a lot of stuff dug up. A gazebo, as Hannah would say. There's a lot of stuff dug up. There's this girl named Bethany Young. She's not important, but she's also hugely important. She, through reasons that have something to do with Mrs. De Laurentiis, has copies of all of Allison's clothing. She's also from Radley. Mm-hmm. So she breaks out of Radley. She's wearing Allison's, the famed yellow top, and, you know, the whole outfit. She has her hair like Allison, all of that. Allison gets clonked on the head by Charlotte, who thinks that she's killing Bethany because Bethany is going to kill Allison.
Gotcha.
So Charlotte clonks Allie on the head. Mrs. De Laurentiis sees. Mrs. De Laurentiis buries Allison in the grave. The Grunwald, the psychic, pulls Allison out of the grave. Sometime later, Bethany Young does show up at the grave. This time, Mona, thinking that it's Allison, hits her with a shovel. She goes down. Melissa happens upon the scene, thinks that Spencer has killed Allison, and then buries the body alive. And then Bethany Young does die for real. That's right, right?
I think that is pretty correct. Okay. I don't 100% know if Mona hit her with a shovel. Mona hits her with something. And she dies in the grave after Melissa buries her. Okay, that was really fun. I just wanted to like see
that was
I wanted to see what we thought. Okay, there is a 3-episode arc where Hannah has a fake brother.
Or who is a fake brother?
Hannah has a fake brother.
I don't think that's true because I think that's also a plot line on Riverdale.
God darn it!
You are correct. Yeah. All right. Toby is hit by a car and breaks his leg.
Okay. No, he does break his leg, but he's on scaffolding while he's doing work. And that's how he does break his leg, but it's not by hitting a car. He falls through scaffolding.
So you are correct about the scaffolding. He also is later hit by a car and breaks his leg. He breaks his leg a couple of times. Or maybe it's an arm the first time.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's it.
Yeah, he is later hit by a car and breaks his leg.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was wrong.
Well, and also Hannah breaks her leg when she is hit by a car. So it's like a very common car-related injury in Rosewood.
Apparently so, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to tell you that the first part of this question is true, which is the shot that ends season 3 of PLL is the liars screaming at the sight of something in the trunk of Wilden's police car. And it's like, you know, they open the trunk and everybody screams. And what is in the trunk is a dead farm animal pig.
Yeah, I think that's true. And isn't that something that the fans were pissed about? Because everybody was theorizing about what was in the trunk and ended up being just like something like kind of unrelated. And it felt like the writers were trolling the fans.
Yeah. And then they like the next scene, they see Wilden's actual dead body. And it's like, well, why wasn't that?
Just... Yeah. Why just make that it?
Yeah. All right. So you're correct. Okay. By the end of the series, each of the liars has hooked up with a cop.
I think that's false because I don't think Emily hooks up with a cop.
Yeah, I don't know that Arya. Arya has Clark, but I don't know that they actually hook up.
I think Clark is a cop character and a love interest.
So you are correct because Arya has Clark, Hannah has Holbrook, and Spencer has Marco and Toby.
Yeah.
And Allie has Lorenzo.
Mm-hmm. And Holbrook,
yes.
And Wilden. God. Okay. At one point, A microchips the liars.
A microchips. I believe that's true. I believe the microchip in question was in a tooth.
Does microchip the liars. There is a threatening note that's left in a tooth, but the microchips are their necks.
A has lots of different modes of transport.
But you were like, again, you were on the right road that like A dabbles in like mild body horror. So
Yeah.
All right. A wedding is called off when the groom flirts with one of the liars.
Interesting. I don't know what the... No, it's maybe Melissa and Ren's wedding is called off because Ren flirts with Spencer. I think that's it.
Well, you know what? That is actually correct. That was not the one that I had in mind.
Yeah, you were thinking of a different adult man who comes on to one of the liars on the verge of marrying a different family member.
God, the show.
So I was referring to Ella's marriage to Zach, the former owner of the brew. He hits on Hannah, and then they call off the wedding.
Gross.
Yeah, it's really gross.
Well, at least one parent is acting responsibly.
I wouldn't give Ella any, like, Parent of the Year award.
That's true. She doesn't, like, full-on murder fits at any point.
Yeah.
Emily's car can be remotely controlled by A.
I think that's true. Because doesn't her car drive through her living room at some point? I'm going to say it's true.
It is true. Her car does not drive through her living room. A does drive through her living room, but A makes her drive her car. Well, does a couple things with her car, like hijacks the GPS, and then at one point turns off the car when the liars are in the middle of nowhere.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right. At one point or another, Allie flies a plane, captains a boat, and conducts a train.
Interesting. No, Allie flies a plane because that's the thing of, like, she got into Rosewood earlier than anybody thought she did.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I knew that, that's a thing. I don't think she ever captains a boat, and I don't think she conducts a train. So I'm going to say it's false.
Correct.
Okay.
You are right. Although I will say, again, not on camera, but we don't know that Allison was not driving the ghost train. Like, they are on a train for a whole episode, so...
She's a very hyper-capable 14-year-old.
My favorite bit of, like, Allie operating heavy machinery is in the flashback to when Allie, like, drops off Mona at the Lost Woods after they, like, presumably hook up the night before. And there's, like, that scene where, like, Mona procures a car for Allie and Allie just, like, drives off. And I'm like, isn't Allie, like, 14
here? Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
All true. Huh. Okay, this is my last one. While in New York, the liars are attacked by a human statue.
I'm gonna say no. Because I don't think that would be scary. So why would that be in the script? I'm gonna say no. That's false.
You're right. It is false.
You're right. You got a good instinct. You got a good nose.
But they are like thrown off their pursuit of A by a flash mob that A has hastily arranged.
Just gotcha. As scary as a human. Yes.
But this is probably like what, 2011, 2012. So that was when flash mobs were having a real moment.
They were. Okay, this is my last one. A breaks into Hannah's New York apartment and ruins her designs.
I'm going to say that's true because I feel like that's a very A move.
I think so too, but it's false.
Oh.
Baby, you did so well.
Oh, thank you.
How do you feel?
I feel like I got a lot of little things right, but like wasn't quite there.
you had a lot of pieces. Mm-hmm. How do you feel?
I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You did. I think you did super, super well.
Yeah, yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree.
Also, familiarity with Riverdale plot lines definitely, boosted you up.
Yeah, I haven't watched that show in quite a while, but I did watch it for a while.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, what a terrible show.
Also, like, I can't believe it's still on the air.
I know.
I'm kind of impressed by it. Just for that alone.
Yeah. You have to give it some points for that.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Okay. So do you have, Kelsey, do you have any PLL hot takes that you would like to share with us?
Ooh, I think, well, I mean, the first one that comes to mind is, this isn't really a hot take so much as an observation, but God, Hannah's hair looks bad. It's just, yeah. Like, it's like every episode I watched with you where we saw Hannah's hair on screen, I was just like, God, it's bad.
Yeah.
It's like noticeably bad.
Yeah.
When everybody else looks like pretty good.
Yeah.
In a way that I'm just like, is it a wig? Like, what is going on?
Well, it's so funny because we were watching the episode where they have the gas leak flashback to the thing that they started the time jump with. And they start that flashback and Kelsey was like, hey, Hannah's hair looks good. And I was like, yeah, that's because they filmed this part like 2 years ago. Yeah, yeah, no, yeah, it is weird. Like, her extensions get very ratty.
Yeah, it's weird.
I think that is a pretty hot take because we spent a lot of time really complaining about the bangs that were happening, like Allison's bangs and Spencer's bangs that were going on. But it is kind of a hot take to say Hannah may have the worst hair post jump, and I think that a strong case has been made for that.
I would agree. I would agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other hot takes?
I think the other, I mean, what can I say that hasn't already been said on this show? I don't know. It's like, it's one of those things where I think it's incredible that any of these women finished college. It's so incredible, and everything about Spencer's storyline is so weird, and just like none of this makes sense emotionally. It just like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah, that about sums it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it does. Mm-hmm. I think it does.
For sure. For sure. Okay, so this is like, I guess this is like a real life and also a parallel question. Like, what do you think are like the qualities that make someone a good partner? And do you see that reflected anywhere in any of the relationships of PLL?
Oh, that's a good question.
That's a very good question.
I think a qualities of a good partner is somebody that you can, like the phrase I would use to kind of like be in cahoots with a little bit, feel like you're part of a team. And I think Hannah and Mona have that the most out of everybody. Mm-hmm. Like they're just like very much on the same page. Like they're kind of like ride or die kind of no matter what, even like as things are revealed, like they just like can't let go of each other.
Yeah.
In a way that is very juicy and very fun. I don't know that any of the other love interests like really get into that so much.
Yeah.
I will say that I kind of liked what I liked about Spoby, which like I talked about earlier, of like having a partner who can kind of calm you down when you're being kind of like I can get very neurotic and in certain areas. And one of the things that I really love about you, baby, is you being able to be like, I think you're maybe catastrophizing or like trying to think of like the worst case scenario. And maybe it's okay to just like let it kind of be what it is. Which I think is something that I think you see Toby, at least in my memory, you see Toby and being able to do that for Spencer. And I think that's a good quality in a partner.
Thank you, / I disagree with your Spoby take. But I think that they do have moments here and there. Here and there. Yeah.
When you talk about how Vina's like, I think you might be catastrophizing, before I like knew Vina like as a person at all, just like when we were commenting on each other's fix, I thought Vina was a therapist probably because she sometimes makes observations that I was like, oh, I don't even know if this is like the observation of a person who's just spent a lot of time in therapy. This seems like a comment that like maybe someone who actually is a therapist might make. Do you feel like Vina has a little bit of therapist energy?
You can say whatever you want to say.
I think, yeah, I think that's true. I think I can say that like you helped me find my therapist because I'm in therapy right now and that's been really helpful. So yeah, I mean, definitely there's an element of that, even though I know that that's not the life that you want for yourself.
No, right. I would not make that mistake now, but just in the olden days.
Thanks, guys.
Vina, I have more questions, but did you have any more questions that were like PLL specific?
Well, I know that, not really. I know that we both wanted to know, and I think I know the answer to this, but like if Kelsey was going to have a podcast about a show, what show would that be?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think if I were to have a podcast about a show, I think it would probably have to be about Criminal Minds.
Oh, interesting. That's not what I thought you were going for.
Yeah. Well, what did you
think? I thought you were going to say Doctor Who.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Phone going off. Yeah, I think I would say Criminal Minds just because, like, I feel like there's a billion podcasts about Doctor Who that exists.
Oh,
already,
sure. That makes sense.
Because it's been around for, like, 65 years.
That makes sense.
But I think Criminal Minds, because it is, like, this, like, total psychobabble propaganda that starts in like the Bush administration and then goes for too long.
Oh, so way
it's
too long.
So long. It's yeah. Like it's like it's just watching the early season is just like, what did they think this show was? Like it's sure. it is kind of ripped from the headlines like in the Mona SVU, but like there's all these like well-known actors on it. And it's just like Mandy Patinkin is like the lead for several seasons and he's doing like he's putting his all into it. But I'm just like, this is weird. Like,
what is this?
What is this? And be yeah. like, can you even watch that as a person in 2023?
Yeah.
You know, with like also like more progressive ideas about like the role of policing in the United States, or even just the role of the federal government.
Sure.
In a way. And so it's just like, yeah, I think I'd probably talk about that. Also, lots of like stealth queer characters on that show.
Well, that's what I was going to ask is like, would you do sort of a queer reading of the show?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would listen to that podcast.
I don't know if that would ever happen. I certainly wouldn't do it by myself. I would have to find a podcast partner.
Yeah.
Nice. So, like, we talked a little bit about Doctor Who, we talked just now about Criminal Minds, like, what, like, shows, movies, books, like, pieces of music, like, what media would you describe as being, like, formative to who you are as a person?
I mean, I think we gotta give it, first and foremost, to probably Criminal Minds, which I watched way too young, and watched a lot of. I think also very formative to me was Psych on USA, which I still watch occasionally because it still like really gets me laughing. I think probably Golden Girls, watching reruns of Golden Girls, hysterical sitcom. Yeah, I think that's probably the other, probably if we're going like movies, probably Star Wars and Lord of the Rings. Like standard nerd shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. On our first date, we were at the museum we were at was actually like a pop culture museum.
I've been to that museum.
Yeah, it's a cool museum. And we were walking through all of
because there was a sci-fi section.
There was a sci-fi section, and we were walking through the sci-fi section, and I was like, oh, you know, are you a Star Wars fan? And Kelsey said something like, oh, you know, yeah, just a little bit. Come to find out that, like, she's a huge Star Wars fan.
I mean, you have no grounds to complain.
No, I certainly do not. I certainly do not. But
you were both like, you were both like trying to seem like as normal as possible. First impressions, like, I'm not going to tell you that I've recorded hundreds of hours of myself talking about PLL. Like, I'm maybe not going to tell you that Star Wars is like a pivotal influence. And, you know, like, no, I love this thing a completely normal amount.
Exactly. I really have no opinions. I could take it or leave it. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So, like, what are some shows or movies, because it seems like, at least for the PLL stuff that we've been talking about, like, you guys are pretty closely aligned, just, like, as a natural course of things. What are, and, you know, Teenage Bounty Hunters, but, like, what are some shows or movies or, like, media, like, what are ones that you have different opinions about, like, something that Vina likes that you don't, or vice versa?
I mean, Kelsey is a lot more into, like, sci-fi and fantasy stuff than I am. Mm-hmm. I think I've gotten you into some trash reality TV.
Mm-hmm. So that's been fun. But yeah. I already like trash reality TV.
Yeah, but, you know, you hadn't been inducted yet into the world of Love is Blind.
That's true.
So that was big.
Yeah, that was pretty fun. I did watch quite a bit of, like, early Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, yes,
of course.
You
told me it was formative television for you.
That's true.
And I got pretty burnt out by, like, when did I stop? Season 5.
But you really were enjoying those first few seasons.
Yeah. It was really fun. I could tell why, like, people were obsessed with it.
Yeah.
And I think that's just, like, a hard binge watch.
Sure.
I think you gotta stretch it out.
You gotta pace yourself. Yeah, there's so many seasons.
Sure. Yeah, and they're still going.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you watch when it was on, or have you watched since then, Glee? Oh,
good question. No, I did not watch it when it was on, because like, one of the reasons I could get away with, like, watching PLL in, like, an evangelical Christian high school, because it aired during a time when my, like, other family members were not home. so I could kind of watch it in secret, and I think I couldn't get away with that with Glee.
I have made her watch a few scenes of Glee on YouTube, though.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
That's like a very, like, that's a very low level, like, investment in Glee, like a few scenes on YouTube. Yeah. Unless you're trying to seem like a normal person again, and you actually mean like I made her watch 5 hours of clips.
I haven't done that. I would not. I love you too much to make you watch Glee with me. I don't even think I'd want to go back and watch really any of Glee. It was a relic for a specific time.
All right. So I guess that kind of leads into like talk about like cross-pollination, like what kinds of things, like whether it's like media or like anything, like a website, type of food, like whatever, like what are some things that you've gotten into because Vina is really interested in them? And then like Vina, what are some things you've gotten into because Kelsey is interested in them?
Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'm trying to. This sounds really mean. I'm trying to think. I know that there are things. Yeah, my brain is just a little bit dead right now.
Yeah.
I think you've like recommended some podcasts that I've listened to.
Mm-hmm.
You had said at one point that Bell Hooks' All About Love was mm-hmm. one of your favorite books. And so I read that book. You have threatened that you're going to make me watch some Doctor Who with you. Mm-hmm.
Promised.
Jinx is going to be there.
Yeah, so the next season of Doctor Who, Jinx Monsoon, is apparently going to be a principal character.
Yeah.
So. And it's a beloved showrunner coming back. I have to talk to you about the politics of this show, which is fucking bonkers. But it is a thing of just like, I think before we watch the Jinx Monsoon episodes,
yeah,
like, I'm going to have to show you a selection of Doctor Who episodes so you just understand what's going on, because it's all so specific and so stupid. But it's also like very fun.
You'll curate a whole lineup for us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I got into some music, a fair amount of music that you've recommended to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We also, I heavily recommended watching Phantom Thread together.
Oh yes. Yeah. That was,
which is an incredible movie. I don't know if you've seen it, Joanna.
No.
That's so good.
So good. Also, you recommended we watch Interview with the Vampire, which I had never seen.
Yeah, the 1994? Yeah. Am I right?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
She had never seen it. And I was just like, it was a thing of like, I was like sick that weekend, so we were just watching movies all day.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, oh, why don't we watch Interview with the Vampire? Because it was like on HBO Max or something.
Yeah.
And it was like at the part where they're like, where Tom Cruise is like baby trapping Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
And it's as close to like a canon like queer family as you can get in like the mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. I just remember like I wasn't even watching the screen. I was just watching her reaction to seeing this happen. So
I was just like, oh my God. What's happening right now?
Yeah.
I love that. And I also think there is like an argument to be made that the over-the-top energy that Tom Cruise brings to his role, there's like a direct line from that to Alex Drake at the end.
Yeah, I can totally see that.
Like,
yeah,
they both have that. Like, if we're gonna go down, we're gonna do it like in style with this frilly collar and this accent, and yeah,
exactly.
I remember I watched that movie when it originally came out, and there were like, I had really strong opinions on Tom Cruise being the wrong person for that role. And I stand by that. Like to this day, I feel like they could have cast someone who maybe would have been a bit better, but I hated Tom Cruise in that role so much that like years later when I like, I don't know if I saw it on TV or like, I was like, there's a new series out about it. So maybe someone like had an article or something. I completely forgot that Brad Pitt was even in that movie. Like when I was like, oh my God,
that's Brad Pitt.
Completely. And Christian Slater was the reporter, and like, yeah.
Baby Kirsten Dunst.
Yes. Yes. The little baby vamp.
Yeah. Incredible. Incredible. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, do you want to answer now?
Yeah, I will say I watched Sex and the City.
Oh,
the
yes.
The entire series. I did get through Sex and the City because that's fun. Yeah, Grey's Anatomy. I've gotten into some, again, other podcasts like Blank Check. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this podcast. Maintenance Phase is another podcast. Mm-hmm. Well, I would say like this is separate interest that we now enjoy together. Last podcast on the left, and We Hate Movies.
Yes.
Which was very fun. Oh, also, you showed me Scream.
Oh, yeah. So, yes.
I had never seen it. And yes. I was like, oh, this is incredible. It's so much fun.
Yeah. Which, I mean, Joanna, well, obviously, we've talked a lot about Scream. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
We hope to have a Scream bonus episode coming up in the not distant future.
So. Yes. Scream Appreciation Society here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and a shared interest of ours, maybe this can segue into us, because this is an interest of all three of ours, talking a little bit about one, Miss Taylor Swift.
Absolutely.
How would you like to explain how the role that Taylor Swift played in our relationship origin story?
Exactly. I would love to. So on said dating app, I think one of the prompts we had, or maybe one that you had, was tell me about your favorite Taylor Swift album.
Yes.
Or tell me your opinions about Taylor Swift or something like that.
Yes.
And my opening text to you was, what's your favorite Taylor Swift album?
Yeah. What's your favorite scary movie?
Yeah, very much that.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your favorite Taylor Swift album?
Ooh, this is tough. It was 1989 for a really long time. Mm-hmm. But I think Folklore has taken that spot for me personally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Same here. Mm-hmm. Folklore is my favorite as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I loved 1989. That was definitely my favorite for a long stretch, but now I actually think it might be Midnight. So
that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I was listening to it at a time when I had just had a lot of stuff going on. And so I feel like I kind of trauma bonded with that album in a way. So now whenever any of those tracks come on, I'm like, oh.
Do you have a favorite song from Midnights?
What a great question.
Or even a favorite, couple of songs.
Well, Maroon, obviously, which we have discussed as like one of the gayest songs. Question, of course, another super gay song. But I also I like a lot of the bonus tracks. I like I like The Great War. I like Paris. I enjoy that whole Bigger Than the Whole Sky. I'm a fan of it pretty much from beginning to the one song that I do tend to skip on it sometimes is Lavender Haze. I don't know why. That one, I just didn't. I know, and a lot of people really, really like that one.
That's probably my favorite song off of Midnights.
Huh. It would be in my top three for sure. Yeah. Yeah, but it's what speaks to you. And I feel like sometimes so much about an album, your experience of an album is like the space you're in when you're first listening to it, mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. So do you have any like burning Taylor hot takes that you want to share with us?
I really want her to be done with whatever dating phase she's in right now.
Meaning the Maddie Healy of it all?
Yeah, the Maddie Healy stuff with like all the rumors circling around.
I think I have so many thoughts about it.
I know. I can just see your brain going like, where are we going to go here?
So for one thing, I do think like it's pretty true that like when you're in like, how old is Taylor now? She was obviously 1989. So she's like, when you're the age that she is and you've broken up with someone that you spent like most of your 20s with and stuff, like I do feel like you might go through a phase of dating like some dirtbags. Like I do feel like some very questionable dating choices could be in the future. But I also feel like, sometimes you break up with like a long-term relationship and you want to like go to the exact opposite thing. Like if the person that you were with was like, like never wanted to spend any money. You might like wind up dating somebody who's like, you know, living off their credit cards because they like just totally. So I feel like in some ways, like Maddie Healy, like a grown man named Maddie, which is like his own thing, who in every single picture looks like he's just been photographed for a DUI. Like this dude really does seem like Joe Alwyn's like opposite number.
Yeah. He really does. He does not have this sort of clean sheen of Joe. Mm-hmm.
And the boringness, just nobody cared about Joe because he was just like, so like, you just looked at him and he was like, it was like she was walking around with a bucket of cold water for like any questions that people might have.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, do you want to share your theory about.
Okay, I'm not sure that the Maddie thing is real. Like, I feel it has many of the hallmarks of her previously like kind of heavily managed like sort of PR relationships where she would like be with a new guy for like who was also a celebrity for like 3 months and then it would be over and it was just like that, you know, rinse, wash, repeat.
Sure.
I could see that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so which brings us to where do you fall on the Gaylor? On the Gaylor spectrum, darling.
It's one of those things where I just, like, it's so fun to, like, theorize about.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think, like, it's, like, my own pet conspiracy theory. Do I, like, have a whole lot of, like, real life stakes? Not really.
Yeah.
Just because I don't know. So I also like I kind of feel like maybe she doesn't know what her deal is.
Like, true.
She's like, figuring some things out still.
She's figuring some things out. But it's also like it's really interesting to think about like for somebody who's been like so famous for so long and whose relationships have been so scrutinized by the media for like what almost 15 years now.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting of like if you're figuring out if I was in that position trying to figure out like potential queerness with like a spotlight and a magnifying glass on it,
yeah,
it would be like, I don't even know if I would have the space to like even interrogate what I'm feeling towards other women.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
So yeah, like that in that way that she's also insane.
Yeah. So, like, she's also Taylor Allison Swift.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do think that it's very funny to me to think about the implications of like some of the people have theorized that like maybe Midnights is about a little bit of just like she is such a celebrity and she's just like a artistic force that it was like slowly killing her to be a normie like Joe. And that's like what caused the breakup. And now she just needs to just either be on her own or date another person who's just obsessed with music and obsessed with the work.
Sure.
Because I don't think Joe ever was.
Yeah, he seemed very on the outside of it. Like, he'd, you know, play a little piano riff every once in a while. But, he was, they seemed to have live pretty separate creative lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. So I think it's totally possible that Maddie Healy is, like, I think he's, like, the look over here. And I'm curious if she might be involved with one of the, like, queer musicians who is on the tour with her.
Interesting.
That's my pet theory at this time. But I also like when you're talking about like, you know, her being in the public eye and like what it would be like to interrogate queerness, I think you're totally right. But I also think that like when you look back at like, you know, Taylor and the media, I feel like it's like super well known that she's gone through some pretty dramatic quote unquote friend breakups with like very close female, like remember the magazine article about how Carly Kloss had her own room in Taylor's house?
I just feel like
there's just been a lot of stuff that has like gone on in somewhat plain sight of the media, but everybody is just so like blinded by the heteropatriarchy that they're like, oh my goodness, what could that split have been about? We will never know.
It is fascinating the way that like her whatever ships with women and her whatever ships with men are just completely treated totally differently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah,
for sure.
Well, I think that covers all of my questions. Joanna, what else did you want to make sure we talked about?
No, I think I think that really covers it. So I guess one question I would have is were you both open and forthcoming about the level of your Taylor Swift fandoms?
I think so. I think the degree of like maybe nerdiness that we each have about her music kind of evolved over time. But I also think that like we have in some ways become more nerdy about Taylor Swift since being together. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, so many of her songs are really a great soundtrack for the experience of falling in love, mm-hmm. you know? And so I think that we both mm-hmm. related to and continue to relate to mm-hmm. a lot of her music as it pertains to our relationship. So I definitely remember having some moments early on where it was like, damn it, Taylor, she's done it again. she's really captured that feeling the way that nobody else can, yeah. you know? And then we're seeing her live the day before my birthday. So that I think that the Taylor nerdiness will just keep rising.
Exactly. The circle will be complete.
Yes. At that yes, point. Absolutely.
Because so I've never exciting. Seen her live.
You've never seen her live. Yeah. So
that's very I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, I'm excited too. Is there anything else you wanted to make sure we talked about, Kelsey?
Trying to think if there was anything. Not really. Well, I guess here's a question. How do you guys feel about sort of the queer representation? I guess you've kind of talked about this in a bonus episode before, as far as like queer fashion.
Ooh.
On that Butch scale.
On Pretty Little Liars specifically.
On Pretty Little Liars, sorry.
Interesting. Like, do you mean for the canonically queer characters or for like everybody?
I was thinking for everybody, but yeah, also even the canonically ones, because I always felt like Shay Mitchell like would never let them go there.
Yeah.
Because like she's got this like gorgeous mane and they don't know how to dress her. They don't know if they want her to just like kind of go full butch.
Yeah.
Because she's like athletic or something, but like Shay Mitchell clearly did not want to cut her hair. Like, yeah. So she's like stuck in this thing of like, yeah, I mean, like, I'm sure there are actual real life gay people.
So sure.
Like, that's exactly what I would wear. But I don't think the show ever got a toehold into like yeah. what her presentation would be in the way that I think like Paige did.
Well, that's what I was just going to say, is that I feel like Paige is the closest that the show ever got to figuring out how to kind of capture like a soft butch mm-hmm. character. And a character evolving in their presentation as they became more comfortable with their queerness. I think there really is like a through line there with Paige. It seems like, I mean, everybody else is so femme on the show. And I mean, Paige is also very femme, but she's just less femme than some of the
she's
other.
She's butch for TV.
She's butch for TV. She's butch for PLL. It is... Yeah, I think probably the closest to like any kind of more butch representation that we ever saw was the Samara's poker party.
Oh yeah, yeah. There were a few like kind of butch like for like half a scene.
And Hannah at the lesbian bar, I guess.
Oh yeah, yeah. Hannah at the lesbian bar, for sure. Yeah, I think it's interesting. I agree with your point about Shay Mitchell, and she also she's gone on to play queer in other things. Like she was queer in that show You, and she was queer on Dollface. And like Shay has like talked in interviews about being open to like relationships with men and women, but like it's a huge difference on Dollface, where her character is just like a femme, you know, like openly femme, as opposed to PLL kind of trying to make her like athletic is like their main concept. And it always,
yeah,
it always just comes off a little strange. But I think like in terms of fashion, like if you did like a fashion lineup of Liar looks, I feel like Spencer's fashion breeds more queer than Emily's a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I actually think the show did a really weird thing where, like, Emily, they often would go sort of out of their way to be like, well, Emily's not one of those butch lesbians. Like,
right.
Like in the scene when she and Hannah are going to go to the masquerade ball together and Emily's like, well, I'll be your date, but I'm not wearing a suit. Or, like, when they have to, like, fix the tire that one time and she's like, are you all looking at me because I'm gay? And it's, like, this kind of thing where, like, the show is sort of, like, trying to maybe bust stereotypes, but in doing that is kind of implying that there's, like, something wrong with more butch women, which is, like, not an unusual sort of stance for a television show to have, but... and certainly not PLL's worst crime against queer people, but I do think it's especially when you throw in all the other like weird gender stuff on the show, it's not a great look.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm gonna give like top three best like kind of butch looks that I can think of off the top of my head. Number one is Paige in the suit. In the episode where Mona is revealed as A. That is a fantastic suit. Sure. I love it. Oh, maybe it's going to be top four, because also I really like Paige's suit at the ice ball.
The white suit.
Yeah, the white suit is really good. So, like, those two times of Paige being in a suit, I think, are really good. Also, Mona, when she is dressed in the same costume as Caleb on the ghost train, and tries to kiss Hannah. That is definitely like I think a pretty. What is he? Is he like a musketeer? I don't even remember what he's supposed to be dressed as. But yeah. So Mona is like dressed as a man in a mask and is trying to kiss Hannah. So I would say that one, and then I would definitely say Spencer's the queer archaeologist look, where she kind of looks like. She kind of looks like an Egyptologist, Indiana Jones. She's wearing that like strange kind of cinched cargo jacket situation.
Oh, yeah. It's the episode. It's the one when she's like chasing Hannah and Caleb down the car.
Yes.
That one. And it like feels like they should all three hop in the back and start making out. Yes. Correct. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, also in the ghost train, we have Paige's Marlena Dietrich.
Oh my gosh, how did I forget that? Yeah. Okay, basically everything that Paige wears when she wears a suit.
Sure. And there was like that one episode where Emily had like a leather, she had a jacket on that was leather, denim, and flannel.
Oh yeah.
That was good. Yeah.
And oh, maybe honorable mention to Emily's bartending costume at the Radley when she wears the suspenders.
Oh my God, how could we forget the suspenders? Wow. Yeah. That was a great question, baby. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, we have covered a lot of ground here tonight. How do you feel? This is your podcast debut. How do you feel?
I feel pretty great. I've had a lot of fun.
Good. I had a lot of fun too.
Yes. It was so nice to meet you. Listeners, if you have any questions that you want to be relayed to Kelsey, or ideas for a future bonus episode, if we talk about Criminal Minds, or Doctor Who, or Star Wars, any high fantasy stuff, write in, let us know.
You're encouraging the monster here, you realize, but <Can't wait. laughs> who is this monster? Yes, you can, of course, send us an email at everybodyapodcast@gmail.com. You can check out our Instagram at everybodyapodcast. You can check out our Spotify, everybodyapodcast. And you can leave a rating and review on iTunes. We would appreciate it. Next week, we will have Kristen on the podcast, which I am so super excited about.
Yes, I think that's going to be very fun too.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Well, until then.
Take care.
Bye, everyone.